looked everywhere for a couple of days. I mean, every inch, yeah, of everything.
It's a resource now.
Well, we're supposed to expect miracles, right?
Yeah. Well, miracles are guaranteed. Any problem that you can have, miracles are guaranteed. It's not a maybe. It's not a wait for it. Not a hope.
Yeah.
Because miracles are made by the problem. They're not made by the Holy Spirit. Not made by God.
Now, wait a minute. What does that mean?
You want to take a hack at that? You laughing good? You want to take a hack at that?
Well, what happens when you're done with miracles? Then you're there, so they're kind of not real.
Why is
every
it,
problem
why?
Has a solution.
Yeah. Why?
It's
Misako. Misako, why is a miracle guaranteed to be there?
Because that's what we are.
It's a metaphysics of what this book is trying to teach.
It's a shift in perception, right?
Shift in perception. That's what it is.
Yeah, so we're always having judgments and ideas, and then it's an opportunity to shift that, so that's the miracle.
Yeah.
Right?
It's right. And it's always guaranteed, because the only thing that would shift in perception is you voluntarily.
Right.
And if you want to feel love or happiness or peace or patience, nobody can make you do it. And so when a problem shows up, the perfect miracle is sculpted by the problem. Perfectly. What's pressing your button today is that the neighbor doesn't care about.
It's like, negative space automatically created.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, place for you, the automatic, it's held, every problem is held in miracle.
Mm-hmm. It's defined by it.
Exactly.
Well, so wouldn't it be more accurate to say the opportunity for a miracle is always there?
Yes, you could say that.
Because you're not always going to step into it.
You may not take it.
Right.
You can even deny it, but it's there.
It's there, yeah. Right, I see what you're saying.
It's kind of nice because, you know, that way you're never abandoned. You know, you're never... peace is never out of reach. Mm. When that simple principle is really accepted, understood as true. Mm. It's like, nobody else to blame but me if I'm not happy. And the Course goes all the way to stay supremely happy. Mm. But then what other happiness do you really want? And if you're totally in control of your own attitude... why would you go short of supreme if it's available? I don't believe it's available. You say, well, you know, keep reading.
Well, we're so stuck in our own ways, you know, you know, it's like you go, it's easier to go with the drift than it is to alter that pattern.
Yeah. Habits.
Question of belief, though.
Habits.
But I think it's a question of belief. How much you believe in this concept of there's an answer to every problem. The more you believe it, the more you'll see it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
We are attracted to things that are bad for us.
Pardon me?
We're attracted to things that are not good for us.
Okay, explain that one.
Well, for example, getting angry while you're driving your car in traffic, we swear, wave our middle finger, even at the top of our lungs. Or the second helmet of the death by chocolate cake. God, I mean, the first one was enough, really. It was like, fine, but I just want one more. Another 1,200 calorie slice of chocolate.
It justifies further anger.
Yeah, you get angry about that, right? You're up at 4 o'clock in the morning with sugar, you know. We're attracted to things that aren't good for us. But it's a matter of awareness and discipline and to what you really want. Yeah, the ego speaks first. So we have to get past that. Negative freedom, I like to call it. Negative freedom.
Okay.
It's ego construction. You know, which is kind of verifying its right to rule.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a sloppy way.
It has the answer because of such and such and such and such. Can't you see the evidence?
Welcome to Course in Miracles. Well, you know, I think one of the ways to talk about a spiritual journey or devotion is right and wrong. You know, you want to find truth. Well, you know, some things feel right, some things feel wrong, sound wrong, look wrong, right and wrong. We'd like to know the difference between right and wrong, and then choose the right more often and as often as possible. If we're doing something wrong and we don't know it, but it seems to be hurting ourselves and others, is it still wrong? Well, we want to kind of get through that and do right things. Healthy, wise, loving, kind. Be that. Be that person. This is kind of a direction. A direction, right? Of goodness. Find the truth. The truth is not going to be wrong, right? Is there something wrong about the truth? Is there something evil about the truth?
That's how you say it.
It's truth we're talking about with a capital T. Truth of God. Sometimes it's a deep question you really have to go through if you haven't gone through that one. Is this God good? You know, is God good? It is kind of for your own personal spiritual journey, you really do have to sit with this one and answer it for yourself. Is God good? Is there goodness? It's going to be a challenge if you get really honest, because there's all sorts of not good things going on.
Well, I kind of look at it as, we're using words. Mm-hmm. And these words separate us. Mm-hmm. Pure separation. It's mm-hmm. useless crap, but yeah, this is what I'm using. So when I look at it and see these things, I'll just go, I'll use God, Great Spirit, you know, mm-hmm. Tao. Tao's one of my favorite, because mm-hmm. it really doesn't define much. It's just all of life. I mean, mm-hmm. I just have this feeling about what it could be. Mm-hmm. I realize I can't really define it.
Yep.
I'm not far enough in all that shit.
Yeah.
So I just, this whole thing is, I'll get something going on and I just get this cool feeling about it. When it comes to the good and bad, I realize they're just a duality and I'm somewhere floating on that razor's edge.
Yeah.
And I just go, whoa. And every time I'll just let some of that stuff go. But I'm going in the right direction. However you want to define it, good, bad, you know, I'm undoing stuff I don't need. I'm using the ego. The ego's my friend. Mm-hmm. Every time I have some issue, I go, wow, the mm-hmm. ego's going to give me these cool miracles. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something and I'm going to love it. And
what about the power behind it all? The ultimate source.
Oh, that's, you can feel it.
Is that good?
To me, I can feel this, yeah.
Is it good? Even
good.
Though the bad things, the cancers and the earthquakes and the dead children. Remember Santa Cruz a couple years ago with the girl in the dumpster? I mean, it's a pretty tough mm-hmm. night, right? Where was God that night?
Yeah, but you know, if you don't have the what we call the bad, how would you know what the good is?
I just want to ask you a simple question. Is the ultimate power good? And you really have to take it internal. You've got to really get to decide for yourself.
And can I just give it to the Holy Spirit? Leave it at that? I'm trying to simplify things.
Yes, you can't leave it at that. You know, essentially, you take it to the Holy Spirit. But since the Holy Spirit is part of your own mind, the Holy Spirit will talk to you at that point. Mm-hmm. And the ego is very likely to say, "You deal with it. I don't want to know. I feel too upset about this poor girl in the dumpster." And the ego's got you. So I say, it really is quite an important question to ask yourself in meditation.
No, I usually don't have any problem with it, though.
But you know why? Because the mental says God's good. We've always heard God is good. Look at those beautiful flowers.
God is love.
Look at life. God is love. God is life. You know, big, beautiful.
Well, in Western religion, God is good. But not in like Hindu, in Hindu, there's destructive God.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And, you know, there's... aspects.
In Hinduism, you've got a pyramid of gods.
And
you've got the, you know, literally, they say 330 million is just like a large number of gods. You know, don't try to count. And they make them. They make new ones. And that accounts for all the powers. Mm-hmm. And it's for a low level of spirituality. Then as you go up, you eventually get to this triplex of gods, you know, the destroyer, the maintainer, and the, you know, and the creator, you know, Brahma and whatever, right? You work your way up as they go up to a simpler and simpler structure, and then in the ultimate of Hinduism,
there's one. Yeah.
And that's not easily explainable to those who don't read and write. Even the Hindus with many gods, destructive gods, and all the higher thinking of then have to come up with a decision on God's one personality, God's one essence. I should say essence. Yeah. So for tonight, we need to think about just for a little bit. This is a very important spiritual passage. Everybody has to make it. It's very personal. Everybody has to make it. You know, if you don't, I think you're lying to yourself. Because there'll be times in your life when you think God should have done something and the goodness should have appeared and it didn't. And you can't see how you or somebody else deserved what happened to them. You just can't see it and you're arguing. This is very important. If you don't address this, you're skipping your own honesty. And you know what I mean? Your own honesty.
I don't believe in God, you know. I believe in spirituality and that there's truths, you know.
Yes.
Like universal truths. There's things that you feel it.
Yes.
You know, I was raised in a Jewish household. We didn't, you know, my parents weren't really devout, and they didn't stress religion. I went to Hebrew school, but I never, to me it just seemed like a big fairy tale, you know?
Good.
Good. And that's what it seems like to me now. It seems abstract. It seems like,
excellent.
It's an odd idea that people have, that there's some being that controls things. And so to me, when you say, is God good or bad, it's like...
This is great.
I don't know.
I think for you the burden is less to do what I'm asking. Because you don't have this preconception of God. I'm saying...
Well, no, there's a societal imprint of what God's supposed to be.
Not for you personally. For Mark... It's like, you guys are fantasizing.
Not as the truth. Not as the truth, yeah.
Not as the truth. As your personal truth.
I don't think this is the way it is.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I think for you it's going to be easier. Uh-huh. What I'm asking us to do tonight. God and Vishnu and Brahma and Shiva is a great example. These are just names. They're concepts for what is. Mm-hmm. And I believe what you just said is, I'm into what is. And unless you show me a, you know, walking, talking demonstration picture from my personal experience, I'm not going to go live somebody else's fantasy and use somebody else's terms. And I really appreciate that. I think the journey will be shorter for you. Mm. And depending on your level of spiritual consciousness, you will find comfort in that. Or if you do not have a developed spiritual consciousness, then voids will occur and you will feel so empty that the pain is unbearable. Mm. Whereas somebody right next door who's got an altar and prayer line, they don't have that void. They just lean on it. Mm. You don't have anything to lean on right there. But like I say, that's not necessary with a higher spiritual consciousness. You don't need the reference to a God. Another discussion. But for now, I want us to look at the idea of what is a sin supposed to be? You know, the idea. You can phrase it and feel it any way you want. Okay? Well, I think we all know, essentially, what the dictionary says about a sin. So we just want to spend a little time. What do you think about sin? Just for you personally tonight. It's important that you check in with yourself personally. this is to teach yourself about what you believe. You know, A Course in Miracles talks about what we're doing is removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. In the next page, it's not just a handy list of 10 slots and you fill in the last 3 you can think of and you're done. Because you're creator. So when I ask you these, when we do these meditations, you're actually going into a creative state, potentially. You check in with yourself about what you believe. You are teaching yourself in these meditations. Let's check it out. Let's go see what you're doing tonight. Now, I know it'll be different next week, so don't worry about saying it out loud. What would a sin be? And if you did have some definition of sin, sin as opposed to what? What kind of components have to be there before you call it a sin? This is a sin because. What does the world think, or what do you think personally? Think about the opposite of sin. There's the one who could not possibly sin. What's that consciousness that can't possibly sin? What's that? Why did they come up with a list of the 7 deadly sins? Deadly to what? And finally, just pick a word or phrase if you want. What is the opposite of sin? The opposite of sin. David, what's the opposite of sin? Give me a word, give me a phrase.
Guiltless.
Guiltless. I like it.
It just came out of
the first question, like, what the hell? It just hit me.
Yeah, guiltless. It's like you're going, didn't do it.
You're looking at the sin, then hoping there's opposite. Oh.
Nice. The dictionary in your head.
Because I was like, when I look at sin, what is sin? Oh, guilt. Just guilt.
Did something.
Trying to create guilt.
Yeah, did something, man. No, didn't do something.
And
didn't do it.
When you really look deep into it, you can see how you get. it's got this hold on you.
Uh huh. Uh
huh. All you need to do is let go of that completely.
Yeah.
It's not. It's.
Didn't do it. I didn't do it.
That's the whole thing. I
said,
yeah, I can do it. I can do it. It may take a little bit, but I can do that.
But a psychopath doesn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
That's what they say, but.
But you can look at him and decide whether he's...
But he's got some guilt somewhere else.
But if you look at the psychopath, decide the opposite of the psychopath? Right? That's what I'm interested in. What's the opposite of the guilt that the psychopath did? The opposite of that.
It's what Masako said. It's innocence.
Innocence. Didn't want to do it? Didn't do it? Well, what's the opposite of guilt? I mean, sin.
I don't know. I was just thinking about babies being... They're obviously, they can't do any... They're so innocent. They can't do anything wrong.
Babies can't do anything wrong.
Right.
Whole bowl of Cheerios. And milk.
That's a mistake.
Didn't even take a bite. You know, they want Fruit Loops. You always give them Fruit Loops, but there aren't any Fruit Loops today. So this is good food. It's actually better for the kid, probably. But where's my Fruit Loops? Walt, what's the opposite?
Wholeness.
Wholeness. Completeness. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You sticking with innocence, Masako?
Yes.
Mark, what's
like pure love.
Pure love. So instead of sin, pure love. The embrace of love. Mm-hmm. Tracy.
Honoring self, because we depend on other people to tell us what's right and wrong, and therefore what sin is. But if we honor ourselves and our truth, then we're not going to sin.
Yes.
Yeah. You like that, huh?
I agree.
See? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
sin is like throwing yourself under the bus because someone else says something about you. Uh-huh.
An acting out of some type that you wouldn't do. Well, if you were, what?
Well, doubting yourself or disbelieving yourself and believing what someone else says.
Uh-huh.
It's really about themselves, but you take it as about you.
You decide their truth in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you agree with them that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Then you punish yourself.
And this causes you to go outside of yourself.
And you punish yourself for it.
And then you punish yourself.
I think it has to do, it does have to do with like integrity, like it's like there's various levels of sin. Like you can, like a, you know, it, like a sin on a lower level is just, you know, like a white lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But then it it escalates up so that, you know, like if I was to cheat on Masako, I'd be breaking my word to her.
Mm-hmm.
That I wouldn't do that, and I would know that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be like a perpetration on a grand scale. And you know, usually when if I've done something like that in the past, I can feel that.
Yes. So there's bad.
Well, no.
There's bad things, not, and then there's
no
really bad.
I don't
bad.
Think it's good and. Good and bad. I think it's like it's like if you're honoring yourself,
yes,
your word,
yes,
but then you break your own word to yourself,
yes,
then you're committing a sin to yourself.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it has anything to do with other people, although there are, you know, things that society tell us that we shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm, you know, like the seven deadly sins. You, mm-hmm, know. Like, for somebody who's a glutton, they might not feel like that's a bad thing to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, even, but, you know, it's one of the seven deadly sins, but they've decided that that's okay with them. So, is that a sin?
Have they really?
So. Huh?
Have they decided? I mean, who are you?
I don't know. But somebody may.
At the moment, for sure. That second chocolate cake, for sure.
Well, I'm sure there's, like, at least one person on the planet who it's okay with them that they're overweight, that they're obese.
Yeah.
But
then Tracy says, he says you get outside of yourself and you do these things.
Yeah.
So the opposite of sin would be staying in yourself, staying in your truth. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonestly.
It's like closing your eyes to it. That's all that is.
Because you're
just denying it.
You're creating your
just
own
denial.
World. And in your world, if that's okay,
mm-hmm,
then it's okay. You decide what's okay, and you act on that. But
uh-huh,
once you start taking on other people's stuff,
uh-huh,
that's when you start judging yourself and start saying you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then all sorts of chaos occurs. Because there's a bunch of dishonesty going on. You're fighting with yourself and with others.
The question is, what's the opposite of
self? But what's the opposite?
Staying
what is
true
it?
Yourself.
It's license.
It's license?
Yes.
Nice.
License.
Nice, I like it.
And which implies freedom.
Yeah, permission.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of sin is
right.
Right.
You're right.
Full empowerment. Fully right. I love it. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the opposite of sin might be creation. Complete giving. A complete ownership. Kind of along with your license. No, instead of taking something apart or down or breaking it, you're making it. Completely owned. Let's talk.
One of the components to sin is sort of along with what Teresa was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's we're really, well, first it's an illusion.
Yes.
And then secondly, we are really, in a sense, attacking God. We're attacking ourselves.
How's that? Explain that. Explain that, attacking
Explain
God.
Explain that? Okay. Okay. Sin, there's a feeling of guilt and also justification for,
mm-hmm,
the way you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is one of the big tool that the ego has to get our attention, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. to keep its own existence, that mm-hmm. we're separated mm-hmm. from God. Mm-hmm.
How's a sin different from just a bad deed? What's different?
There's the truth. You were talking about the truth, uh-huh. right? The yeah. truth according to God's law.
Yes.
And when we attack,
yes,
or do something that we considered a big sin,
yes,
then guilt arises, justification, attack, anger, resentment, and these are not the truth of what we are.
Uh-huh. Why does the Course say there's no sin?
Because we're innocent. We're gods, forgetting that we are gods.
We have a full license. You know those big long things that you just say, click, I agree? 27 pages.
Either you agree or you don't do it.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that, when you're saying something's a sin, you're labeling it as being a sin. You're saying right and wrong, but that's made up. You're making that up. People make that up.
But when we say people cross a crosswalk
yeah.
when the light's green, you know, I don't call it a sin.
Right.
Even though they're supposed to wait and the yeah. little man is red. Oh, that
because one. In some places you don't get a ticket for that.
Yeah.
So if it's okay someplace and it's
yeah.
it's not okay another place, does that make it wrong?
Yeah, it's like $300 in Singapore. It's really serious.
Yeah. That's right.
But it's still just a fine. They don't put you in jail for that. They deserve jail for gum or something.
People look at sins as going against God's law or God's rule.
Yes.
And
yes. So a higher court, right? It's not just the traffic people and inconvenience of all that, where you might injure yourself if you cross the street and hit by a car and cause somebody else a bunch of paperwork and a damaged car. No. We're talking higher. God's law, God's rule.
The thing, yeah.
And that there's something more egregious about breaking God's law. So we're going to have to call that a sin. Masako and Mark stood in front of God and family and legal system too and said, I'll be nice to you, you be nice to me. Till death do us part. Okay. And the land doesn't really care whether Mark cheats on Masako. But, you know, they do with each other. And somehow they say, well, something really good was our intention when we got together. Really good. Really good.
Commonly accepted morality.
Yeah.
It was a sin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Is there such thing as a sin? I mean...
There's a good question! Who decided that?
At what point do you say it's something is a sin? Because for one person,
uh-huh.
it might be a sin, and for another person, it might not be a big deal.
Well, we're supposed to say to kill somebody else is supposed to be a sin, and yet
yeah.
people get paid to do it. And we welcome them home with a parade after they... the more you've killed, you get things in your coppel yeah. and stars in your airplane. You killed a bunch! So what's a sin anyway?
Well,
if
in
it's
the
conditional.
World,
what?
In the world that we live in,
yes.
we have degrees.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, it's kind of like a mass thinking, society race thinking that yeah. there is.
Yeah.
There's something you do that you need to die, uh-huh. you know, uh-huh. capital punishment.
Uh-huh.
And there's other you just get slapped in the wrist.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
But capital punishment's not necessarily sins. Like, you're not being punished for a sin necessarily.
Right. You're just being punished for conditional.
But three strikes, you're out.
Like culture, the race-wise,
yeah.
this is like a high degree.
But it's the same thing as the Ten Commandments. That's culture.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
does it feel
exactly
different?
What I'm saying.
You were speeding. You're going 65 in a 55, and you got a ticket.
The CHP officers will treat you like you're in church, and they're passing judgment on you. Some of them will. Like, I have experience with this.
Yes.
So that, you know, they'll come up to you and they say, "You were speeding," and I, you know, it's like it used to freak me out when they did that, but now it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
Right. Do you know why I pulled you over?
Yeah.
20 mistakes I made in the last mile. I don't know.
So the quality of sin, this word sin. Now let's talk about the burden of this idea of sin, if you will. Where we've got mistakes, we've got bad behavior, we've got doing things you shouldn't have been doing. You were speeding, you were stealing something, you thought, I'll pay for it tomorrow. You know. But then there's the sin stuff. What's that feel like? That's where they're going after. And that's what happens to us personally, where nobody's watching. We hold ourselves for sinning. Whether or not somebody else even knows about it, we're pretty tough on ourselves for something we should have, could have, would have said or didn't say or done. So it's really personal. Because doesn't sin mean guilty?
I know that, like, I wouldn't, like, go to my next-door neighbor's house when they're not there and like, fine, go inside and take something.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't.
You wouldn't do it.
I could.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And so, but if I did,
yeah,
I would think that I did, I would know I did something wrong. Yeah. Okay, somebody else might not think that.
Yep, it's true.
So a sin, to me, is like something that's been created by, you know, religion, the description, the term, a sin. Because I don't really see things in terms of sins.
Yeah.
I see things in terms of doing stuff that's right and wrong for me.
Okay.
And yes. When I know that I've done something wrong,
yes,
like, I know.
Okay.
You know, and I'll say to myself, okay, I'm not going to do that again.
Yes. Yes. Now let's say, so let's go to this criminal who has, you know, really been turned away from by society, and they really feel that anybody who has a house can afford it.
Right.
And I'm hungry. I'm just a human being. You know, I might have tried to go get a job today, but the bus service is broken. I didn't break the bus. I'm just hungry. I'm going to break into this house. I've got to eat today. Mm-hmm. I got a kid, you know, back at the shelter, and that kid needs something to eat too, and I'm going to take care of this right now.
Yeah.
You got a house, you can afford it. I'm going to just break the smallest window you have. It's the best I can do for you, but I'm going to feed myself. Mm-hmm. And they really believe it. They believe they're going to survive another day.
Yeah.
And then if it all works out, they'll come back around later after they have a job and an apartment and they'll do something good in the world. Later. But right now, I need help. So, you know.
Yeah, is that a sin?
Isn't it all relative? That is sin. Exactly.
Depends on the perspective.
Depends on the perspective. Thank you. Yeah, ultimately. Of Course in Miracles says, in black and white, there is no sin. Despite how you feel about some of these really ugly things that go on and that you've done.
<It's not cool. coughs> So, it sounds like this whole thing about sin ties in with about us being innocent, whole, and yeah, all the other things that, yeah, was discussed in,
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So, since we are that,
yes,
then when we start feeling guilty,
yes,
it's that, it's the projection, right? That we can't tolerate this feeling of guilt, and we throw that out there into the world, yeah, and just like the guy that justifies, that's my projection that, well, I don't have, so this guy's pretty rich, so he's not going to miss me going in his house, uh-huh, and, uh-huh, you know, uh-huh, stealing, eating food, refrigerator, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that when I think in terms of sin, that's that whole idea of not being able to hold it in here, we got to get rid of it, mm-hmm, and the whole consequences and that wheel of projecting,
mm-hmm,
you know, constantly,
yep,
and attacking the world, which is, again, there's no world.
Well, you started with
ourselves.
You started with that word whole. You started with the wholeness, and then you divide down away from wholeness, and you get guilty. I think that's very insightful. It's a part that feels guilty, a part that steals from another part. Were you to have the concept of complete wholeness, and you're that homeless person, you'd say, my refrigerator. It looks like my Mercedes is at work with my other body. A real wholeness. I'm going to go in now and get my lunch. If you really had a sense of wholeness, going to be okay. I can afford, if I have a good job and a big house, to feed my homeless self. And I'm free. And there's no sin. There's just hungry body. And there's fat rich body driving the Mercedes. It's all okay. Free. But you got to feel your way around through this, because we tend in our weakest moments in our lives, we tend to slip away from a sense of freedom, away from a sense of innocence, away from a sense of completeness, away from a sense of love, away from a sense of guiltless. We slip away from a sense of license, and we just feel shitty. And this is the ego's gotcha. And that's the whole ego's and the world's purpose. We are here with A Course in Miracles to transcend the world. You don't need God for this. It helps to have some idea that goodness exists. For me, that's all God is. It's just that is the essential. I do all the math and it's really good. Yeah, that's God for me. It's like when I get so blinking amazed at what's going on, I thought, wow, thank you. Even as I may be the next one to suffer with cancer or whatever. It doesn't seem to matter, the suffering at that point. My the way I see things, my understanding of things, it doesn't. There's no real. There's actually no real loss. It's fantastic the way that what is, and the powers that be that make what is. So I just like that, and I call that God. So let us turn now to page 402.
What you like is an inexhaustible supply of pure joy.
I trust that. I trust that the inexhaustible opportunity for pure joy. Mm-hmm. It's never been denied me. Mm-hmm. I've chosen differently at times. And now, of course, in miracles, in my spiritual awakening, I come back at my poor choice and say, that was silly. The sooner you choose joy, the more you feel joy. Mm-hmm. And I can choose joy at all sorts of circumstances. Life keeps throwing them at me.
That's cool.
And I keep conquering and finding out, you know what, I really can't be cool with this. In fact, I can just back.
Perspective really does matter.
Perspective matters. You take a step back, see? Get off the battleground and look down and see what's going on, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really does matter. Especially because as you go into the part mentality, you will suffer. You have to suffer when you go into the part mentality, because the part doesn't have it all. The part's struggling for enough for itself. When you get into the whole mentality, you have it all. Now, that is the essence of the atonement in this book.
If you identify with the whole mentality.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the essence of the atonement, is identifying with the whole.
Okay.
And allow forgiving, this is big now, forgiving your identification with the part and all the habits you have that go with it. You still got it. You still have those habits. And you get dark sometimes. And you fall out and say and do things that you're not proud of. It still happens. However, with the atonement, you can leave that part behavior where it belongs.
You forgive that.
In the dream. You forgive it. You got to forgive it. What does forgiveness mean? Release. For not being true.
Oh, man, that's good. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I love
because
that.
Because it's perfect. Perfect. And imperfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And well, it's irrelevant whether it's perfect or not.
It is.
It's perspective.
Perspective. It's perspective. Ride that all the way. Okay, what's a mistake versus a sin?
Well, again, a mistake is really it's a wrong thinking.
Yes.
And where a sin is like, oh, again, because of this, you know, the world that we live in, yeah. That sin is like, oh man, this is horrible, you know. It cannot be. It's difficult to overcome.
What's a sin versus a mistake?
I think there's no difference.
A sin is like, you know, okay, a sin. It's just you're guilty forever.
You're guilty forever.
The other part I can fix.
You really messed up.
Yeah.
There's no undoing that.
When I was in that guilt whole part, you couldn't undo it. Like, go to all the confessions you want. It sticks you. It piles up, and you get this pile of stuff, and you just become a bad person. You go out and do, you know, you just become all this stuff. That's because you can't until you finally let it go. And it's like, whoa, I can fix this. I can create a new.
But before you fix it,
answer.
Before you fix it,
yeah,
it's not fixable.
Yeah, it's not fixable. I just absolutely, you can't fix that. It's good. I don't care about this confession. It don't work.
It's unforgivable.
Exactly.
It's an unforgivable mistake. That's a sin.
Yeah, like you can't get rid of it. Space.
Yeah. Hey, we got to brand you. You have crossed the line.
Yeah.
Now forevermore, you're going to wear that A on your shoulder, and we'll all know what you are.
Right.
Stay away from my husband.
You're branded.
All right.
A mistake is unforeseeable, I think.
Interesting. A mistake is unforeseeable.
It's like everybody makes mistakes.
I mean, yeah.
Help not make mistakes, because we don't have perfect. We're not perfect. We don't have insight into everything.
Do you mean mistakes
are forgivable?
They're forgivable.
Yeah.
Mistakes are.
You
mistakes
can learn are, from mistakes.
Mistakes are unforeseeable. Yeah. So you're innocent if it happens.
Yeah, it's an innocent.
Even though you did it.
What about the hunting accident where you accidentally shoot some dude?
It's a mistake.
That's what the courts are for.
Technically, it's a sin because you killed someone.
Yeah, they didn't mean to.
And you can't undo it.
You can't undo it.
Yeah, you're a good lawyer.
What about those horrible crimes, though? The really horrendous murders and everything.
Yeah. Are those mistakes or are they sins?
Oops, I killed somebody.
Oops. Oops, that guy cut me off. I pulled out my .45 and I shot him.
Yeah.
I rolled down my window first, but I shot right through his window and killed him. I didn't. I rolled down my window first.
Sounds
people
like
saw
you,
me.
Like
protect
you
my
anger
own
management, dude.
What? You say anger management? Isn't that one of seven deadly sins, anger?
A mistake would be I just happened to find that gun in my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, the gun. The gun
register.
Fell.
Yeah.
The gun fell and went off.
Yeah.
Pointed right at that SOB's head. Yeah, sin is the unforgivable mistake. And a mistake is, I love this, foreseeable. You know, it's unforeseeable. What happened? You didn't realize. You didn't realize that, I don't know, you borrowed a stranger's car and it had no brake fluid. And geez, it's all sorts of mistakes that happened, but somebody forgot to, they tried to fix the brakes, but they got a phone call and forgot to put the brake fluid in, and they forgot to tell you, and you forgot to ask, are you done with the brakes? And all these mistakes, you know, just borrowed the car and drove.
So who's the real sinner here? Me who stole the car, or you who didn't put that
brake fluid? But that's a dead person on the sidewalk now. But you know what? No charges will be filed. The court will look at it and decide, you know, it's not a sin. We're not going to punish you because it was a mistake. We can forgive you for the horrible thing you've done. I like this. Foreseeable. Yes?
You know, I just want to go back to what you said about seeing the whole.
Yes?
I just love that.
Good.
You
said it.
Let's see. Okay, so when I recognize that I'm not being loved, then in that moment of recognition, I have a choice. I choose love. And in that choosing, I'm forgiving, I'm letting go, right? And so in letting go, miracle happens. And, okay, this is the part that I really want to get to. So miracle happens in your mind. And even though my intellect cannot conceive, grasp the idea of seeing the whole, I mean, I just can't see it. However,
yes.
After the miracle,
yes.
There is a deeper, like, knowing where I don't even question, hey, what just happened? You know, it's...
That's the holy instant you're talking about. After the miracle, after the miracle, after the forgiveness, you decided not to pursue this ugly, ego-based thing. Something happens to you. It's spiritual. You raise yourself out of the material battle, and you take on this relaxed presence that says, I'm taking a higher road here. And somehow that's not only okay, it's desirable. It's not a cop-out. This is the idea of a spiritual presence or abiding in a spiritual perspective versus the material. Material's always losing.
So when that happens, I can only logically mm-hmm. think one way.
Mm-hmm.
That in here,
yes, yes,
there is something far greater,
yes,
than I could ever conceive of.
Yes.
Yet at the same time, I recognize, just like, you know, seeing the whole in that holy instant.
Yes.
I mean, it's mind-blowing to me.
See, Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles, just as you've just gone through, Course in Miracles talks about the source of the thought will dictate the effect of the thought. It says it in two different places that I'm aware of. If the source is fear and loss, the effect of the thought is going to be guilt, loss, anything but happy. If the source is fear, fear begets fear. If the source is wholeness, if the source is actually a deep abiding sense of oneness and wholeness, it really does take a spiritual perspective. Because, like I say, the material perspective is by definition a part.
Yeah.
If the source of the thought is from the part, then it's going to be partial and parting and trying to be efficient and saving and surviving. But if it's from the whole, there's no surviving because you're the whole. So there's no dying either. You're the whole. You're it all. Life is the whole. It does not die. As the Course says, and this is a quote, death does not come from life. Death does not come from life.
It's beautiful. Mm.
And yet, an example of life will be a flower, a frog, your pet, and they died. They all died. Jesus, they all died.
Well, there's thousands
Jesus
of
died. What?
Just for us to survive, we have thousands of creatures that die all the time just for us to survive.
And they eat the dead ones, and then they kill them, and then they eat them, and then they live?
I mean, we have, yeah, so it's for life.
But that's not, see, that's living.
Yeah.
That's living. Death does not come from life, does it?
Well, the body died, but life is always here.
Yeah, the body died. The body! Yeah, so he's a different source, right?
Yeah.
Depends what we're talking about here. We're talking about life. Life is life.
Yes, it's always here.
It depends on what your perspective is. Where's your mind coming from? If it's on the same topic now, if it's coming from a sense of limit, we're going to have to look at the loss and the pain and the ugliness of death and call that life too. We have to. I mean, let's be sane, right?
Yeah. I mean, you may get mad and you kill that person. There's huge consequence on this.
That part.
But the person still.
That person, that part.
Yeah.
was killed.
Yeah.
So from part math or part perspective, there's a huge loss. There's a huge loss. How many kids are we behind? Oh, God. Really? How old? Oh. You're hurting me, man.
Yeah.
From the part perspective. And yet, the guy was dying anyway. Didn't you know? He didn't die, you know, so he died early.
Yeah,
we all die. Why shouldn't he die? This one woman, a Course in Miracles student, had cancer, and it was just so great. She did all these really, really wonderful things in her life all along. She was just, you know, gifted and big heart and everything. And the last person you'd want to see get cancer for all the wonderful things she did. And you ask her, you know, it's so tough that you got cancer. She says, well, why not? I got a body. Bodies get cancer. Why not me? Just tell me why not me, and then I'll be upset. Because you're so nice. What does that have to do with it? Bodies get cancer. What can't do? She was free. She was not thinking from the survival of that part, see? She was on the identity of this mysterious other, the spiritual identity instead of the material identity. Okay, we digress a bit, but that was fun. Turn to page 402 in chapter 19. And let's have the course chat with us about this topic.
What did you say, what page?
Page 402. David, when you're ready.
Okay. Sin versus error. It is essential that error be not confused with sin. And it is this distinction that makes salvation possible. Mm-hmm. For error can be corrected and the wrong made right. But sin, were it possible, would be irreversible. The belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. And thus the mind is guilty and will forever so remain unless a mind, not part of it, can give it absolution. Sin calls for punishment as error for correction, and the belief that punishment is corrected, this correction is clearly insane.
Talking about our world.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Walt, you in?
Mm-hmm. Sin is not an error, for sin entails an arrogance which the idea of error lacks. To sin would be to violate reality and to succeed. Sin is the proclamation that attack is real and guilt is justified. It assumes the Son of God is guilty and has thus succeeded in losing his innocence and making himself what God created not. Thus his creation is not eternal, and the will of God open to opposition and defeat. Sin is the grand illusion underlying all the ego's grandiosity, for by it God himself is changed and rendered incomplete.
Whenever you're ready, Carol?
The Son of God can be mistaken. He can deceive himself. He can even turn the power of his mind against himself. But he cannot sin. There is nothing he can do that would really change his reality in any way, nor make him really guilty. That is what sin would do, for such is its purpose. Yet for all the wild insanity inherent in the whole idea of sin, it is impossible. For the wages of sin is death. And how can the immortal die?
Record scratch. Masako.
A major tenet in the ego's insane religion is that sin is not error but truth. And it is innocence that would deceive. Purity is seen as arrogance, and the acceptance of the self as sinful is perceived as holiness. And it is this doctrine that replaces the reality of the Son of God as his Father created him and will that he be forever. Is this humility? Or is it rather an attempt to wrest creation away from truth and keep it separate?
You notice how differently this is written than pretty much everything else we have read in the Course in Miracles in these past dozen years. It's very easy flowing, isn't it? Please continue.
Any attempt to reinterpret sin as error is always indefensible to the ego. The idea of sin is wholly sacrosanct to its thoughts of sin and quite unapproachable except with reverence and awe. It is the most holy concept in the ego system, lovely and powerful, wholly true, and necessarily protected with every defense at its disposal. For here lies its best defense, which all others serve. Here is its armor, its protection, and the fundamental purpose of the special relationship in its interpretation.
Woo! Tracy.
It can indeed be said, the ego made its world on sin. Only in such a world could everything be upside down. This is a strange illusion that makes the clouds of guilt seem heavy and impenetrable. The solidness that this world's foundation seems to have is found in this. For sin has changed creation from an idea of God to an ideal the ego wants, a world it rules, made up of bodies mindless and capable of complete corruption and decay. If this is a mistake, it can be undone easily by truth. Any mistake can be corrected if truth be left to judgment. But if the mistake is given the status of truth, to what can it be brought? The holiness of sin is kept in place by just this strange device. As truth is inviolate, and everything is brought to it for judgment. As a mistake, it must be brought to truth. It is impossible to have faith in sin, for sin is faithless. Yet it is possible to have faith that a mistake can be corrected.
There is no stone in all the ego's embattled citadel that is more heavily defended than the idea that sin is real. The natural expression of what the Son of God has made himself to be and what he is. To the ego, this is no mistake, for this is its reality, this is the truth from which escape will always be impossible. This is his past, his present, and his future, for he has somehow managed to corrupt his father and change his mind completely. Mourn then the death of God, whom sin has killed.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the ego's wish, which in its madness it believes it has accomplished.
The big deal. The big metaphysical deal. What it takes to be in a body. Would you not rather that all this be nothing more than a mistake, entirely correctable, and so easily escaped from that its whole correction is like walking through a mist into the sun? For that is all that it is. Perhaps you'd be tempted to agree with the ego that it's far better to be sinful than mistaken? Yet think you carefully before you allow yourself to make this choice. Approach it not lightly, for it's the choice of hell or heaven. Yeah. Yes, that's why I really want to spend some time like we beautifully did. It's so easy to write this off as of course there's no sin. Of course all is good, and you know, and I'm good, and you're really good, and you know, if you do anything,
despite appearances.
Yeah, despite appearances, you're really good in your heart. I mean, you know, you didn't mean to.
So, what this is saying, if I'm reading it accurately, it's like everything can be looked at as a mistake rather than as a sin. Like, you're a human, you make mistakes. even though you did something bad doesn't mean that you are bad.
You're a human.
Right.
And in order for you to be a human, I'm pausing for a dramatic effect.
Okay.
You have to be in denial of sinlessness, of goodness. You have to be in denial of God in order to be human at all.
I don't get that.
You can't stay in the body.
Oh,
too long of a pause.
So, I need a bigger pause, see?
Yeah,
we jumped the gun. We jumped the gun, didn't we? You see, being a human means that you are fully drunk on being separate from everything else. To maintain that separation, that duality, that plurality, you have to have some things that are out of your control, not you, yeah. No access.
And we use the ego. Without it, what are we?
And the ego's there to manage that.
Yeah.
Separation. And then there you go. Then you get it. See, the ego's job is just that.
Yeah, you got that doubt. Yeah. I doubt I can jump off that cliff and survive it. It's my keeps me alive in the body. Mm-hmm. But yet, that's secondary to that faith and trust that I'm going to use. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the part that will get me in the right direction.
Yeah. But it's not going to be faith and trust that you can sprout wings or that you can somehow land flat enough not to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Not saying it couldn't happen.
It could not happen,
yep,
but if it did, it'd be the exception.
Yeah.
And it's just not very peaceful trying to fly.
Yep.
In a body. It's just not very peaceful. You know the guy that he falls off the 14-story building? He was window washing and he wasn't strapped in.
I heard about that.
Oh, yeah. You
hear about
this? And he falls off and he's down around the 10th floor and he's kind of spinning and he says, whoa, it's funny, I'm okay so far. No, there
what
are
about
crazy
that guy that fell and survived?
There are crazy stories of guys that fell.
Yeah, there was a guy that fell off and the whole thing came down, whatever, he survived it.
Yeah, the guy, if parachute didn't open, the other guy, and it was thousands of feet.
Yeah.
But he landed so flat that every part of, everything hit at the exact same time. So they figure the weight was distributed and the body can survive. Yeah, but you've landed, with anything else lands first, it's going to be broken right off. That was the analysis in that one. Not very peaceful to try it. I'm not going to try that.
No.
So if you're going to be peaceful, it's going to be trusting something other than that level. The whole level has to be transcended. And that's where we get into a spiritual discussion. Because the fact is, there are money issues. There are health issues. There's gravity. There's all of that. Even Jesus died.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pretty.
And he had doubt, all that stuff, but he was in it. He had his ego.
He was managing a body.
He was pretty damn good at what he did, but...
Yep. He made a choice.
He totally accepted it.
He's a part of the story that totally accepted it.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit. That's the part. Yep. That's right.
You have to accept it.
But there's a freedom, right, Masako? There's a freedom that happens when your thoughts come from the wholeness perspective instead of the part perspective. Then there's a freedom born. It's actually pretty darn strong.
This whole understanding of sin is really, really difficult for me. Okay, and I still, grapple with it.
Good.
And not all the time, but I do. And the way that I started to understand it, not by words, but a more of a feeling, is when forgiveness comes to play and I get the miracle and there's an expression. And a lot of times, I say most of the times, I don't know where that came from. because it's not something I studied or, you know, dwelled on. Well, gee, what's generosity? How do I be that? No, it just like gracefully gets expressed.
Gracefully.
Yeah. Effortlessly, with tremendous ease. And along with that, I understand now that those attributes, those qualities that we get in miracles, they're all one way. Okay, it's not attachment, there's no agendas, I just express because that's what I do in that moment. So it's not something that I'll really ever understand again with my little mind, right?
Yes. From the little part perspective,
yeah.
False part.
Good. Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And yet, there's a confidence that's coming through your voice right now, and we know you've experienced these things. It's kind of a mystery, not a bad word for it. And it's that experience that you know to be, I like the word light versus dark or heavy. That's why I like enlightenment. Because there's those moments after the miracle, after you choose not to attack, and in fact, you've actually not worse off because you miss your opportunity to attack, and you're not worse off. Oh, wait a minute. This is good. This is good. In fact, let me see if I can actually help and bring the two sides together. And then, oh, this is even better. And there's a sense of love starting to flow where there was an attack for sin. A sense of lovingness has started to embrace the two parts and find the commonalities. It just feels better. It's lighter than heavier. It's lighter than dark. And of course, the miracle says what you're doing is you're entering into the understanding of wholeness. The holy whole, the holy relationship instead of the special or part relationship. This is dawning on your mind. Yeah. It's always, that's right, it's always one way. Very good.
So along with that makes my understanding or embodiment of idea that sin is an illusion. Mm-hmm. It's just not there. It gives context.
Yes, nice. Context, that. Good word. Yes, absolutely. You've changed your context. With your vision, you've changed the context of the situation. A miracle changes the context of the situation. It sees from a bigger picture. And now you can forgive the little part focus that was very demanding and competitive. And it could be measured and counted, and you bet. But you know that starts to melt away as you get the bigger perspective. The context changes.
I think that just from being involved with the Course for a long, long time, you just have a series of knowings.
Yes.
That you just...
Subtle?
Yeah. You just
they sneak up?
All these things.
Yes.
Are true.
Yes, yes, you start to get this confidence. You get a peace that you can't quite put the math behind, but you get a sense of confidence. The Course calls it trust. That develops in you. Right. You develop this sense of trust that allows you to boldly go where hatred would quickly arrive had you not had some idea that there's something else going on. I'd rather be peaceful, and I know I can, so I'm going to choose the peace instead. Lesson 34. I could choose peace instead of this. It's just having you pause for just a moment and say, draw on that power that you just described, that experience. Experience is a key to the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. A Course says that we're in the Manual for Teachers. It says that universal theology is not our goal, but a universal experience is. And that's what you just pointed out.
Right.
Indeed. deep. Good. That's faith. Mm-hmm. It says I can walk, even though I'm in a new situation, you have something, Carol. You have this light that you carry from all your experiences that say, you know what, it works out okay, and if I just be a little more patient, it works better, and it's true. This is why I call, you know, God good. Because through all my evidence and all my years, and I've looked around, you know, at the end of it all, even though it looked really bad when it started, it always comes out stronger, better, more understanding, more love is invited, more love is felt. I just, to summarize this in a simple example, I saw this quick quote that said that when you reassemble a broken vase that you loved, you will sense more love in the care of putting the vase back together than perhaps owning it on the shelf for all the years you had it. This is you become aware of something. Through the travails of the earth, through the travails of the broken vase, the broken life, the broken family, the broken leg, the broken bank account, comes something that's a little hard to put your finger on at the time, but when it's all done, you go, whoa.
Kind of like when you go into an archaeological site that's been restored, you don't think, oh, all of those mosaics, they're all broken. What a bummer. You think, wow, this is really great. They put them all back together.
Yeah. Perspective counts, right, John? Okay, paragraph 1. Sin versus Error, 402. Now, who's up to read again? Or, is it David? Big David? Yeah, read paragraph 1 again.
Okay. It is essential that error be not confused with sin, and it is this distinction that makes salvation possible. For error can be corrected and the wrong made right, but sin, were it possible, would be irreversible. The belief in sin is necessarily based on a firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack.
Okay, stop there for a minute. The belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. What is he getting at here? He's made the distinction between mind and body. See? You see, this is the reverse miracle. Where the mind, which you can't see, can attack what you can see. What's going on here?
It's sort of an indirect attack. And it's assuming a condition of error.
Yes.
That can be dealt with on a physical level.
Yes.
Which would imply guilt.
Yes.
For that sin.
You see, if it's just a foreseeable mistake, like your shoelace was untied and you didn't see it, and that's why you tripped and knocked the bicycle over that then hit the car and then somebody got hurt.
The old lady.
Yeah. 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 You see, that's physical. The shoelace was untied. That's why he couldn't see it. He didn't mean it. His mind didn't push the bike into the old lady. His shoelace was untied. It's happened to all of them. You know, we're going to let you off. This is horrible. Can you pitch in something to help out? But that's the most we're going to do to you if you're available for that.
So do you think that this is saying that there's a mistake in saying that the mind is separate from the body, when in fact the mind is part of the body, and so,
or exactly opposite of what you're saying? But I'm not sure what you mean. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but it's saying that. The conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack, which is assuming that the mind is separate from your body and is not your body.
Yes. Yes.
So, but if the mind is part of the body, then you know, I don't know. Maybe it's saying that if the mind is part of the body and not separate from the body,
yes,
then it's not. it's not an attack, in a sense. I don't know.
Well, you're right on it. You're closing in exactly what we're talking about right here. Is this how responsible is the body? How responsible is the mind? And it says, well, if the mind could attack separate from the body, when the mind does it, we call it a sin. If the body does it by itself, the body's a wholly neutral thing. Shoelaces, wholly neutral. Shoelaces, you can't, guilty, it's a loose shoelace. I can't blame a loose shoelace. I got to move up to a decision maker who intentionally untied your shoe. Now we've got somebody who could have a sin. That SOB untied your shoe on purpose, knowing you would trip on it. Tried to get you in trouble. Now we got a sin.
So maybe it's like saying that if the mind is separate from the body, and the mind can do something intentionally, whereas if the mind is part of the body, then there's all sorts of other variables that come in. And so therefore you can't zero in and say, blame, put fault in blame.
That's it. You got it. Now we got kind of a metaphysical discussion here. Mm-hmm. You can't actually put blame unless you can separate them. Mm-hmm. And then we can go punish the mind. And the Course is saying, you think that bodies are separate. There's no separation.
Right.
We're going to talk about that later. This whole separation is as much of a joke as the sin. You're absolutely on it, Mark. That's what this book is to heal, is this fundamental arrangement of bodies being separate from minds.
Mm-hmm. You know what's trippy? This reminded me of something. When you study like Native American spirituality, and they would use healing people by envisioning them being healed mm-hmm. in a certain way. Mm-hmm. This particular statement saying that the mind, not the body, can attack.
Mm-hmm.
If you did any of that stuff,
yeah.
and their reality was considered going down the dark side.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Big, huge no-no.
Yeah.
So all the stuff we did in our mind, if we became powerful, where they could envision it and use all this other stuff we're learning about,
yes.
and they would, you had to be so good that you never did any of that stuff there. What we're learning about has to be done first. So you wouldn't accidentally think the wrong thing. Mm. If your mind became powerful enough to do something, you might think, oh, I think that car does flip, and he would just flip. They would talk that way, and that would, all this stuff here was like dark side.
Yep.
Of what could happen. It was kind of trippy.
No, it's good, because we have some dark side. We have Hitler, and then Hitler. Who else is as bad as Hitler? Well, there's Hitler. You think about him yet?
Mussolini.
Or Cho Me. Who's that guy? That
beat Stalin.
Stalin.
Another couple of nasty guys. Yeah, real dark side, real evil guys. Okay, look at this. The belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. So you did it. You intentionally did it, and now I've got to have to punish you for your mind. Wait, but you see, the mind is invisible. Yeah, but it controls the body, right? Mm-hmm. The body, the one that got hurt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we're making sense again. We're back in the world where we belong.
Yeah. Okay.
And thus the mind is guilty and will forever so remain. This invisible thing that was the pull the strings behind the show. Thus the mind is guilty and will forever so remain unless a mind not part of the sinner can give it absolution. We need a bigger mind, see? A bigger authority in the invisible world. The mind. I can't see your mind, Masako, but I'm guessing what it did here, because obviously you untied his shoelace and look what happened. You told Tracy on Facebook you were going to do it, and sure enough you did.
Isn't the concept, confession is like, you go to confession and you say your sins, and then the priest absolves you of your sins.
Yeah, the authority says.
He has the authority to do that.
Yeah, lets you off the hook.
Yeah.
We're not going to punish you. We're going to forgive you. You're guilty, bastard. Don't do it again. Yes. We're keeping a record here.
Recite this passage 10 times.
Do this 10 times. And mean it. And then me feel it, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. You're good. You're good. Yeah, go forth and sin no more.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we're trying to do here in this course is to not allow us to call things sin and make them real.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have that belief, because if we make it real, then how are we going to see people's guiltless and let all that negative ego stuff vanish, because it's not real.
You see, the not real part is what most people have a real problem with. I mean, especially when there's that poor lady, the old grandma with the broken leg because of the bicycle, because Mark fell on her because Masako untied his shoelace. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to say something didn't happen here, David.
Yeah.
We got pain. We got you know, heavy-duty discussion going at the Gordon House tonight over this.
Well, I'm sure the body will get punished, right?
You know, this is serious. See, but the Course in Miracles is using this kind of discussion with these meaty words to draw us into the metaphysical challenge of mind versus body. It's so easy to just read past this. I'm telling you, this section is short, and it's so easy to say, yeah, I got it, you know. Sin's bad, and there's no sin. Everything's a mistake, and you didn't mean it, and God is good. Let's go on with our lives. But there's this momentum, see, of being one of the parts that we're trying to see from the whole. We're actually being one of the parts. We've got a name, and a social security number, and a bank account that makes us a part. But what it's hinting at here... It's another, we're making another gear shift in Course in Miracles at this section.
Yeah.
It's a metaphysical discussion now on mind, the mind, and the part that that mind, which is just a word. We have to meditate on that. Probably next week we should do mind. We should do mind. We're going to end up doing it next week. Because, remember... that A Course in Miracles is constantly tapping on your noggin and saying, don't forget the most commonly repeated phrase in the entire book. You're not a body. I am free, for I'm still as God created me. He's got to remind you of that. Because there's so many reminders that says you are a body, you're sure as hell not free. Did you know that rent is due? And God created me. I don't know. All I know is Mom and Dad got together on a starry night with one extra beer, and here I am. That's what I know for sure. The part mentality.
Extra beer and a broken condom.
And a broken condom.
Or what condom?
Sounds like a song.
Yeah. That's what I know for sure. I don't know this God thing. The hell. It's a fantasy. And yet there are times that I feel like, you know, it's worthwhile to do the right thing. Even if nobody knows. If the cop's watching, it's easy. But sometimes you do the right thing and nobody's going to even know. But you want to do that. Why? Why? What thread is pulling at your heart? And nobody's ever going to find out.
There's also that beautiful quote somewhere in the book about the body's eyes does not see the light.
Yeah.
I am not my body.
Yeah.
And then I think it ends with a question mark. Then what am I?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Right? Yeah. You got it. Yep. Again, again, and again. That's right. It hits that nail several times. Yes. Unless the mind is guilty. Yeah, right. Okay, sin's call for punishment as error for correction, and the belief that punishment is correction is clearly insane. That you could punish and somehow correct. You could correct the invisible decision maker by punishing its body. That'll fix it. Just keep beating it, and then you'll change its mind. I hope you see something broken there. Let's pull the next paragraph. Walt, you're 8, number 2.
Sin is not an error. For sin fails in arrogance, which the idea of error lacks. To sin would be to violate reality, and to succeed. Sin is the proclamation that attack is real and guilt is justified. It assumes the Son of God is guilty and has thus succeeded in losing his innocence and making himself what God created not. Thus his creation seen is not eternal, and the will of God open to opposition and defeat. Sin is the grand illusion underlying all the ego's grandiosity. For by it, God himself is changed and even rendered incomplete.
So I hope you're feeling some real optimism after hearing that paragraph that says, you know what, this is metaphysically wrong. What you're trying to do is impossible from the way things really are. You can't make God not God. So don't worry about it. I hope you're feeling some of that. Sin is not an error, for sin entails an arrogance. Check that word. It's in the course several times used just this way, which the idea of error lacks. Arrogance? What arrogance? And the arrogance is that you think so much of yourself that you can outdo God. That's arrogant, to think that you could make a part that could actually not be made from the whole. That's really arrogant, that you could somehow make a separate competing entity that was not made of the source of everything. Wow, where did you get that idea? Woo!
So that could be like the psychopath. When the psychopath gets to the point where he doesn't feel guilty, that he made himself God.
It's insane.
As an individual, as a separation from everything else.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's actually not...
You're really judged separately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's really not sequitur. It doesn't follow. Not even logical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Okay? To sin would be to violate reality and to succeed, which is impossible. Reality means it's real. Sin is the proclamation that attack is real and guilt is justified. It assumes the Son of God, capital letters. Here we go now. When you see those capitals, we're moving the indication up to the divine, not the material, up to the whole perspective. Now we're having a spiritual discussion when you see those capital letters, which, by the way, never applies to what you see in the mirror. Sin assumes the Son of God is guilty and has thus succeeded in losing his innocence and making himself what God created not. Thus his creation seen is not eternal. Man, you're starting to break some serious ideas of truth here. You're just cracking them. But you're only cracking them if you're somehow, somewhere, taking the whole perspective as true. If you're still stuck in the part, then there will be loss and chaos to follow. And this is all just gibberish. Thus his creation seen is not eternal, and the will of God open to opposition and defeat. The will of God could be defeated if sin is real, punishment justified, and there is loss. Pretty serious challenge, but just as we've said, not so much if you see from the whole perspective. Very important for enlightenment-minded, for miracle-minded. You have to step back away from the dirty details of the problem to see the bigger picture, what's going on. Every level back, you see more. You understand more. And now it's easy, in fact, only possible, to forgive. Remember, A Course in Miracles says, you never forgive something that's true. That's a lie.
What if you're an atheist?
Yep. Well, yeah.
So that what makes it all relative then, wouldn't it? Just,
yes.
And if anything could be seen as just as forgivable as anything else.
Yep.
And God's will wouldn't enter into it.
Yeah, you'd have a whole different idea. Yeah. I mean, instead of God, you don't need God being some character that created something. Just add another O in that word and call it good. Mm-hmm. Even the atheist would rather feel
put
good.
Put a head on the end of it.
An atheist can't really be an atheist because he has to have a God for him to not believe in.
Yeah.
It's kind of some weird sense defeats itself. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
You want to speak up, atheist?
Yeah. I think that's good though, what you just said. You need another O.
That's it. That's enough.
Yeah.
For the entire Course in Miracles to work, just add one more O in that word, and now it reads just the same.
Yeah, everybody wants to do good.
Yeah,
everybody
wants that.
Good feels better than bad.
Right. So
it just works.
You know, and people make mistakes, and you know, stuff gets in the way of that, and you know, they might lose their way, but you know, everybody wants is moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
So you can forgive people if they make mistakes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Even the drug users that broke the window.
Yeah.
He's got a kid at home. He didn't make it through high school for these six reasons. And if you sit down and listen to them all, you'd say, well, I would be breaking that window too.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly. If I had gone through everything you went through, and I got addicted to that, they told me it was harmless, and now I'm addicted. Like, jeez, I'd be breaking the same freaking window. You get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke the window because I just wanted one good day. And I saw money on your seat, and I wanted a good day. And that money would get me a better day than yesterday. That's why I broke your window. I get it. I want good. I want good in my life, and I'm not feeling it.
I used to live in downtown LA, I lived in this loft, and for a while there was this guy, and he at 3 in the morning, he would pace up and down in front of my building, and he would be screaming and pounding his chest, and he'd wake me up, like, every night. And so then I got sick of it. One night I went down there, you know, with my dog, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, you woke me up, and he goes, oh, sorry, buddy, I just got out of the hospital. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, you've got a broken lung or something.
Yeah.
All perspective, right, John?
Right. So anything can be seen that way. You can have compassion for any act. Mm-hmm. And it's all relative again.
That's it.
And that's how you can derive goodness out of it all.
That's it.
It is.
Okay. It's a Christ vision. Allows you to have compassion for absolutely any act. But it can't be a story. It has to be an understanding. And what am I talking about? An understanding?
Well, it's a pure objective appraisal.
From?
Well, you know, the way I
Masako?
Oh, I got this.
An appraisal from what?
It's from your judgment.
It's from the whole perspective instead of the part perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just one man who needs a night's sleep, the hell with the other part. But if you're willing to step in that man's shoes who's got a collapsed lung he's getting over, they kick him out of the hospital, but he's going to be okay. You know what? Cough a bit more, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
You included him.
Yeah.
So you got a whole perspective of Kurt. And now the compassion is genuine.
I like to. I have been in the past, I don't do it often enough anymore, but where I just think I'm looked down upon everything.
Yes.
You know, as like a separate entity,
yes.
looking down on my life and everybody else's life.
Hell yes.
With pure objectivity. And it's like, I get a good feeling. It's like, it's like from, not omniscience, but a feeling of compassion, pure purity of everyone.
Yes.
Everybody's going through their own thing. And,
yes.
And it's just from the Holy Spirit.
It is.
Helps me do that.
It is. It takes an open mind to do that.
Yeah. I don't do it often enough, as I say. But I have done that. I'm going to try to get the objective viewpoint of pure compassion.
It works every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think what you're talking about is such a great skill to have in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of our suffering and pain and our judgment is towards another human being and not an object. Mm-hmm. So when we pause, right, you know, I've discussed this before, when I see, like, oh, I'm not being loved, then with that recognition, I most of the times choose love, and there is a pause.
Yeah.
And
everybody wants good. At the bottom of it, despite their behavior, if we just boil down to that very root of it all, want good.
Yeah, and
preferred
is a natural attribute of humanity.
Yes, it is. It's a natural attribute of life and light. Something going on that kind of put the good works. All things being equal, ceteris paribus, I'll take good if it works. I'll take the good. Yeah, no, that's good. It's a very important understanding. Okay. Sin is the grand illusion underlying all the ego's grandiosity, for by it God himself is changed and rendered incomplete. And Walt said his first word when he said the opposite of sin was, he said complete. That's what came out of him. Yes. Let's rock another paragraph and just break a record. Carol?
Read quickly.
The Son of God can be mistaken. He can deceive himself. He can even turn the power of his mind against himself. And he cannot sin. There is nothing he can do that would really change his reality in any way, nor make him really guilty. This is what sin would do, for such is its purpose. Yet, for all the wild insanity inherent in the whole idea of sin, it is impossible. For the wages of sin is death. And how can the immortal die?
So what's the course pointing at here? What's the truth the course is trying to surface in that little discussion right there? How does that even make sense, what you just read? He can even turn the power of his mind against himself. But
you can punish yourself for what you think you've done wrong.
Yes.
But you haven't actually done anything wrong here.
How can you say that? Even though we only got this, we got the money was stolen, or you got the crime that was committed.
Because the only one that's punishing us is ourselves. We're the only animal that continually punishes ourselves for mistakes.
Yeah, because it was bad. We essentially want good. And yet, something bad happened. We're not going to let it go.
It doesn't do us any good to keep flailing ourselves for it.
And yet we do, right?
Yeah, we do. Just makes ourselves miserable.
So how does this paragraph here says there's no sin. Forget about it. That's what he says. Jesus says, hey, Tracy, forget about it.
It's all in your head, no illusion.
Why is that the case? What? Yeah,
well,
that's
it's
right.
all
that's
in
right.
your head. We made it up and it's an illusion. There's no witness to it.
Broken leg on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but we created we made it a sin. We are actually, in our head, making it worse than it is. We don't really see the real truth behind it.
What's the real truth behind it?
It's just an error.
What's an error?
Yeah, what happened? It's just an error. It's a mistake that can be fixed.
What happened? It's an error.
You know, what happened? You know, it's just something that we can undo. I see it as something we can undo.
What can we undo?
The thing that happened.
The bicycle and the shoelace and the whole Gordon problem with Masako trying to get Mark in trouble.
Yeah. The mind is the part that's going to undo it all.
Yeah. See, Course in Miracles is actually saying is, everything you said is right, but it's not the bicycle and the shoelace, and it's actually higher still. The whole idea that the Son of God in capital letters fits into the Son of Man in lower letters, a body. This is what we're actually talking about. And why, it's another 400 pages before you get there, but it's going to have you say 20 days in a row, and I don't know, I forget the math now, 40 times per day, so 800 times is a lot. I am not a body, I am free, I'm still,
God
created me, see? And if I'm still as God created me, I'm not as I made me. A guilty sack of beep that causes problems for other people and I deserve to be punished. That's what I made of me. A little body that as long as you feed it the right stuff and get it enough money and the right friends and maybe some luck along the way, you can eke out a little happiness. A little goodness will come your way. That's what I made of me. That's what I made of the Son of God. But I had to strip off the capital letters to do it. That's where we find ourselves now as humans. Mistake-laden humans in bodies, just trying to survive.
Wonderful personalities.
Personalities surviving on a protection of an individual small piece or part that is not connected to the whole. That's what I made it mean. But this paragraph is saying, forget about it. Really? You got it completely wrong. And there's really no worries, you see, because the course's author says, I know something you don't know. And that is, you cannot sin. It's not even possible. He's thrown it on the table. He's hoping you get a little bit of light from it.
So sin is an artifact of separation.
Yes, it is. If no separation, then no sin.
How could you think it's yourself?
That's the math. That's the math, John. Mm-hmm. If separation is true, yes, there will be absolute sin. You better get yours before somebody else does. Quick.
Mark. So it's saying that the essence of the Son of God is good, and he can't sin because his essence is good, and so man is by extension the same. So you can't sin because you're good. You're already good.
It all comes from the same place. It
comes from the same place.
There's no evil
to
make an evil component separate from the good component.
Yeah.
This is the metaphysics of this math, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like with our minds, we created this whole landscape of this world. So, with a fragment, right?
Yes.
So the world is like this. It's little, and here's our bigness, and we're trying to squeeze into this littleness. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. So we suffer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's painful.
Mm-hmm. You could, as you try to squeeze the bigness into the littleness, there will have to be a bunch of compromises made. A bunch of chaotic compromises made. So somehow you could experience the smallness.
You know, this is kind of like the first miracle, too, when they talk about love is maximal.
Mm-hmm.
The fear we have, with the ego on it, is also maximal. So for us to think that
this
crime over here is hideous,
nice.
And yet the little glitch that we're mad about is rage behind it. It's all the same. All the same.
Yes.
There's no bigger or little. It's all the same.
That's
like the
right.
First miracle.
That's right. You got it. There's no order of difficulty in
fear. Fear has definitely an end where love is
massive. Love is massive.
That's right. And they are mutually exclusive.
That's
yes.
Saving.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't be holy people sometimes.
No. You're one or the other. This is a good one. They brought me back to that, the ego's biggest secret.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can talk about all this stuff, but if the guiltless is guilty according to the ego. Mm.
Yeah, there you go.
One huge
That's right.
thing. I love
That's
that.
Right.
On page 2.4, I love that
That's
one.
That's right. Your memory. That got Jesus killed.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They yep. shrug him up because yep. he said
crucified him. Guiltless. That's all. Because I will go up and I'll test the people. And I'll let them do that. Okay, whatever. But yeah, you bring that up. There's always somebody that's got to be guilty.
Yeah.
You know, Hitler, I don't care who you brought up, you know, you're beating these people up, and there's no, that child molester is guilty.
If you think you're guiltless, you're the no. most guilty one of all.
Oh, yeah, you will get crucified.
You think you're special, do you?
I am.
You think you come from God?
Wow.
We're going to string you up. That's a sin. That's a sin in the world. To think that somehow you're equal to God. That you are blessed straight from God. No, you're a sinner. Don't you know about original sin? To say that, we're going to have to kill you. That's it. We're going to cut your body, and we're going to put it into that nonsense. And what's the opposite of sin? What's the opposite of sin? Of course, says there is no sin.
Yes.
There is no sin. So completeness is the opposite of sin.
Completeness. I like that.
Yeah. And creation, every moment that you exist in your reality is a creation. It's yours. Well, you can't sin from yourself. After all, it's yours. That's the opposite of sin. Well,
this is a hard one to look at. When you look at it, go get really to the depth of it. You always feel like a little bit of that sin left.
That's right.
I got rid of a ton of it, but it's still a little kind of hanging around.
That's why we spent so much time on it tonight.
Yeah,
thank you.
There's always a little bit hanging in there you haven't gotten rid of yet.
That's right. And that will be what you stumble over
yep.
when you try to run.
That's why I
underestimate the ego, but that's what we scrub some of it out tonight.
This is a really nice one.
The book is here to free you. Just from those little hooks, those little weights, and little that you've left around on the floor, okay, that you stumble over, just like you just said, thank you very much. The Course says in black and white, in a very short sentence in English, there is no sin. Take it in a meditation and find a place in your mind. You might even take it into your garden and just abide for a while with a reality where there is no sin, even possible. And from that experience, I guarantee you will be enlightened, if even just a little bit. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Job's good work.
Thank you.
It's essential spiritual work I did tonight.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Oh,
it's
a big one.
Hey, bro. It is a big one. Well, my Catholic training and everything.
I know.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. I never go to church when I was little. I mean, I wasn't. Anybody talking about
from Germany?
You are here.
The people left Germany.